ancient Greek writers such as Homer that wrote different tales of Greek mythology often would write about life out on the sea. Particularly, there are some creatures that they mentioned called the sirens. They're like sirens on top of an ambulance, but that's how it's pronounced, the sirens. There were beautiful creatures, variously described, that would lure sailors on with their songs and their beauty in such a way that they would wreck their ships on unseen rocky reefs and coasts on the islands where the sirens live. Have you ever heard of the sirens? Does this ring a bell, so to speak? The sirens were sometimes pictured as mermaids or as half women, half songbird. Now, if you're listening to it, oh, I better not go that way. Half woman, half songbird that would sing these songs with such an effect, would make these sounds, it would fill the sailors' ears, and they would crash their ships upon the rocky coast. I guess that was one reason why people try to figure out why didn't the sailors, how did they get close to these rocky reefs that they should have avoided? Instead, they crashed. And so they came up with this mythology that there must have been sirens that were singing their song that led these sailors to crash their ships on these rocky coasts. Some of these creatures inhabited places like they called Anthem Musa. Sometimes these sirens are called muses as well. Or Sirenium Scapulae or Tapeworm or all these places where the sirens were supposed to be hanging out and would sing their deathly song or their luring song that would lead to death upon the rocks. In one of these tall tales that Homer wrote about, he wrote about Odysseus, the king of Ithaca, and as he was on his ship, he too wondered, why did people listen to the siren song, sailors listen to the siren song and crash their ship? So he wanted to find out why, and so he told his sailors, I want you to tie me to the mast of the ship. Tie me with heavy ropes, and no matter how much I beg, do not let me loose when the sirens sing their song. And he put beeswax in his sailors' ears so that they would not listen, but he would listen, and he wanted to see if what would happen if he didn't give in to the siren's song. Well, the sirens began their singing, trying to lure him, and he begged them, let me go, let me go. But they would not. Instead, they tied him tighter so he would not listen to the siren's song. And the result of this tall tale was that the sirens, having failed to lure Odysseus, they died. But you know what? As I was thinking about temptation and its song to us, and as we hear the whispers and we feel the urges of temptation and our own desires leading us in astray, and Satan playing on that and deceiving us, I thought that's much like the siren's song in this mythology, that people listen to that and their lives get shipwrecked on the rocks of temptation, giving into temptation. You know, in real life, we know there's not sirens, but there is temptation.
Amen.
That leads us astray. And all of us, to some extent, at some point in our lives, we find ourselves shipwrecked on the rocks when we listen to temptation.
Amen.
This prayer, folks, this, what's called the Lord's Prayer or the Model's Prayer or the Model, a Model's Prayer, the Model Prayer. I'm really messed up this morning.
You had a late night.
It was a late night. We took Rachel down to Missouri for a scholarship competition this weekend down at SBU, and hopefully I know how smart she is. Hopefully she amazed all the interviewers and she'll get the full ride. Wouldn't that be awesome?
Yeah.
Of course, there's 200 and some odd other parents are wishing the same thing. But anyway, another, that's probably why I'm messing up. That's my excuse today. But another name for this prayer is the disciples' prayer. It helps followers of Christ. This is a powerful prayer.
Yeah.
It's not just, you know, I love that song we sang, the first one, the more formal song of the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven. It's a beautiful song.
Mm-hmm.
And I shared the first message on the Lord's Prayer. That was one that they start off... SBU, the greatest college I ever went to, they started that off, the first chapel service of the year off with singing the Lord's Prayer. And at the graduation, they sing the Lord's Prayer. It's a beautiful song, but this prayer, folks, is meant to be more than a song. This prayer, which is his disciples asking in Luke chapter 10 or 11, Lord, teach us how to pray. It's more than an example. It is more than a prayer to be said as a ritual every Sunday. This is a prayer that if you apply its principles, it will change your life. It will help you. Prayer, you know, when you practice prayer, when you prayer becomes part of your life, and each part of this prayer, and you begin making your prayers according to that outline, Our Father who art in heaven, Your name is holy. There is no one like You. You are number one in my life. And You love me like no other. And that puts your life in perspective. It tells you who you are in Christ. And that God is your Heavenly Father. And yet He is holy. There's no one like Him. He is worth everything. And then you pray, I want, Lord, Your will to be done on earth as it is in heaven. That means in my life.
Yes.
In my church, in this world, we are praying, and that gives your life purpose. Your kingdom come. That means He's your king. That means there's a kingdom agenda in this world and in your heart and life and in this church. And you pray, give us this day our daily bread. Folks, a lot of times we are consumed with thoughts about our needs and things that we want. But when you realize that every day I need Him.
Amen.
Lord, I need You. I was saying a while ago, Eve said, well, I've got everything covered. No, you don't. Every good and perfect gift comes from Him. Everything
Amen.
Comes from Him. Delight yourself in the Lord. He'll give you the desires of your heart. But you delight in Him. First, you were depending on Him. And last week, boy, that's powerful. Forgive us our debts as we have forgiven our debtors. About forgiving. Asking God's forgiveness daily. And also forgiving others that have incurred a debt against you. Well, last week we dealt with that. Asking God to forgive our sins. Asking the Heavenly Father who wants to forgive us our debts. We talk about sin as a debt. And that prayer last week dealt with past, the past. And this phrase today deals with the future today. Lead us not, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. As I noted this past couple weeks, prayer, it's addressed to the Father. And when you're praying about, give us this day our daily bread, you're talking to your Heavenly Father. Who wants to provide for you more than He does? Amen.
Amen.
You ask about forgiveness of sin, He wants to forgive you like no one else, and He has forgiven you.
Amen.
I want to tell you today, there's no one that wants to help you to overcome temptation. There's no one who wants you to pass the test of life and to grow stronger more than your Heavenly Father. Now, yesterday, I was, for the last activity that Rachel had, I was seated downstairs, and her last thing was the interview. And I was seated downstairs right across the interview room, and thankfully it had these long, those long windows, rectangular windows, where I could see Rachel being interviewed. You didn't know I was watching you, but I was. And they asked her five different questions. And we had told Patricia and I told her about smiling and eye contact and different things. And boy, she was doing it. But I was watching her. And I was cheering her on selfishly. Boy, if she can, man, really wow them, she'll maybe get this scholarship. But I was wanting her. A father, then particularly a heavenly father, wants you to succeed.
Amen.
Know that if God is for us, who can be against us?
Amen.
Know that when you pray, Father, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil, the evil one, you can know He is pulling for you.
Yes.
More than I'm pulling, certainly, for the Falcons this afternoon or this evening. I mean, when the girls, and we're in basketball season, they're 24-4, and, I'm pretty enthusiastic fan out there because I want them to succeed. The Heavenly Father wants you to, as you face the test of life, He wants you to pass the test. Back in the 70s, the Stanford University did a test on deferred gratification. Deferred gratification. Being able to wait and discipline yourself to get the prize by waiting longer. The scientists had these kids, I forget the ages, but say 5 to 10 or whatever, to sit in this room, and on a napkin was a marshmallow. And they said, now, if you wait, Susie or Johnny, if you can wait till I come back and not eat this marshmallow, you'll get 2 marshmallows. Well, I did watch part of the video of these tests from 40 years ago, and the kids, they would kind of start playing with their pigtails, the girls would, and they would kind of turn around, and they would do all this and that, and then occasionally they would kind of rub the marshmallow and eat it. And the test was, of course, scientists were looking at them through the two-way mirror, glass, whatever, and then finally the kid would eat the marshmallow, not all of them. They found that the younger kids had a harder time than the older kids, that sometimes through experience of something like this before you had to wait, that there had been some kind of training. This would be a good illustration for Father's Day, because they found that the most common factor in kids that were able to wait longer were kids that had a father figure present in their life.
Yeah.
Shocking, but not. Mm-hmm. Dads are important. Father figure, whether it be a stepfather, regular, or the biological father that's present, makes a big difference. Dad, you matter. It made me feel pretty good. I wonder how long Rachel would last in there. There had been a marshmallow yesterday. I want to tell you, Heavenly Father, as we put our trust in Him, He helps us. He wants us to pass the test of life. And it says, why say, lead me not into temptation? Does God ever lead us to be tempted? No, God doesn't tempt you to do evil. We face tests one way or the other every day of our life. James chapter 1, verses 12 through 15. Listen to this. It kind of gives some perspective. James chapter 1, verses 12 through 15. Because the word for test and temptation in Greek, they're the same word. Same word. Sometimes they translate as test, sometimes as temptation. And in this passage I read, sometimes I'm going to say test, sometimes temptation or tempt. James 1:12 says, blessed is the one who perseveres under trial, because having stood the test, that person will receive the crown of life that the Lord has promised to those who love Him. That's why God wants to give you the crown of life. He wants you to give, that. But verse 13, when tempted, no one should say, God is tempting me. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does He tempt anyone. But each person is tempted when they are dragged away by their own evil desire and enticed. Then after desire is conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it's fully grown, gives birth to death. Now, the interesting thing here is that the word in verse 12 that's translated test is the same word that's used several times for tempting in verses 13 through 15. The difference is that God wants you to pass. The devil wants you to what? Fail. Oh, you don't need to study. You got this. Come on. Don't worry about it. The Lord is wanting you to succeed.
Amen.
The Lord wants you to pass the test of life. This world is going to be tests. And there are going to be things that are more temptations that are hard for you to overcome. But the Lord is wanting you to pass that test and not to give in to temptation. He is cheering you on. Jesus, in the Bible says, was tempted and tested in every which way in which we are tempted, yet was without sin. Jesus overcame so that you might overcome. Mm-hmm. Now, when kids become juniors and seniors, they begin taking the ACT test, the SAT test. And I know it's one thing that there's classes that you can go to that'll help you to pass or to get a better grade on the test. But I see them asking other people that have taken the test. They get example questions about, these are some questions that you're going to face, that are on the test, and they give them example questions. And I think Rachel, I know, took a course about, there's videos from people that were experts on the test. And she got all this information. She did well on the ACT test, and Rebecca's already taken the SAT, or PSAT, and has done well. But these kids that want to do well on the test, they're getting information. They're being taught by those who have taken the test. They're getting testimonials of others who have done well on the test. And Jesus experienced all of the tests in life. God's Son, the Father's one and only Son, He came. Went through all the tests. He was tempted in every way in which we are, yet He passed the test. He did not sin.
Amen.
And He came so that you might pass the test. And I want to tell you, the Father, when you pray, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one, there is the Heavenly Father wants to answer that prayer. He wants you to pass the test in life. He doesn't want you to be overcome with sin, but to overcome sin. And we can say, if God is for us, who can be against us?
Yes.
He wants you to pass the test and not to give in to sin and to temptation. Now, to overcome temptation, we must be willing to be led by the Father. That first word after "and" is lead. And lead. And lead us not into temptation. To ask the Father to lead you not into temptation implies that you must be willing to be, that God, your Heavenly Father, leads you in life.
Mm-hmm.
The problem is, in our hearts and minds, we are already making allowances and excuses and rationalizations that are leading us into the path of temptation and getting into it. Don't pray and lead us not into temptation. That word temptation I'm having a hard time with. Temptation. temptation. The problem is, we are already in our minds planning to give into temptation. Don't pray, lead us not into temptation, when you already think it in your mind, I'm going to give into it. Lord, lead me not into it. You have to be willing to let the Lord lead you.
Amen.
James 1:14 through 15, we read a while ago. Each person is tempted when they are dragged away by their own evil desire and enticed, it says. Then after desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it's full grown, gives birth to death. We get lured into temptation. Years ago, when I was going to college there in Missouri, there's a place called Bennett Springs. I don't know if any of you have heard of Bennett Springs. There's these beautiful springs. At these beautiful springs, not too far from Lebanon, Missouri, there is a trout hatchery. It's very interesting.
Yeah,
if you have never been to trout hatchery, see all how they raise trout. They're beautiful fish. And then they release them into the springs, and the springs go, I think it's into the Pomme de Terre River, which is basically potato river is what that means in French. But my brother, Tim, he loves going to Bennett Springs, and it's fly fishing, you know? And they cast out that fly, it looks like a dragonfly or something like that, and they're flying it out, casting out there, and they're bringing it back and casting out there again. And it gets the attention of the trout. You've seen this on TV. Now, that never appealed to me to get down there and put those, I don't know if it's the waders or if it was the cold water. I didn't want to get down there and fish. So I watched Tim fish from the bank. I might have done it a time or two. But I could watch those fish out there. And those rainbow trout or whatever they are, they're kind of swimming around. It's, you know, they've just been released from the hatchery. They don't know any better. They're swimming around having a good time. And they're playing just like young, you know, fish do. And all of a sudden they see these dragonflies, and they've eaten dragonflies before, and they know that tastes pretty good. And they see that pretty lure hit the water, and then it flies off again. And then it goes back, and then it flies off again, and they're tracking that. And they say, hey, it's game time. It's also, I'm kind of hungry. Well, I'm up on the shore. I can see everything that's going on. I say, come on, fish. Don't let my brother get you, catch you. You're smarter than that. But no. They see the lure kind of dance around out there. There it goes again. There it goes again. There it goes again. And they think this is going to be fun. And they wonder who's going to catch that lure first. They're thinking it's a dragonfly. I know that it will lead to their death. And sure enough, one of them grabs a hold of it. My brother has quick enough reflexes on one of those chances. He doesn't pull it out of the mouth. He gets it. And he reels them in, and he puts them in the little mesh pouch. They're caught. And later on, they're going to be skinned, filleted. They're dead. Now, if I had some way of communicating with those fish, I could have given them better guidance than my fish ESP. I was trying to, you know, keep them from being caught. God sent His Son. His Son Jesus showed us the way. Jesus overcame temptation. And He sends His Holy Spirit. And we pray to Him. And we say, Lord, lead us not to temptation. The lures of this world look pretty alluring. And when the siren song of temptation comes, it's hard for us. We are like little baby trout that don't know any better. But the Holy Spirit within us, within you. Because if you call unto God, your Heavenly Father, God's Spirit does the same thing. If you let Him, He will lead you. He will say, hey, remember last time you got caught in the mousetrap. There's no joy there for you. swim the other way. So folks, you have to be willing to be led.
Amen.
You have to realize you've got a problem, just like the old 12-step saying, you know, admit that you've got a problem, that you're powerless to overcome, and you need to rely on a higher power.
Amen.
You have to be willing to be led by the Father, and He will help you. James 4:7 says, later on in this book of James, says, submit yourselves then to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. There is an answer. There is a way to avoid escape temptation. Submit to God. Resist. And He'll flee from you. 1 Corinthians 10:13 says, no temptation has overtaken you except that which is common to mankind. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, He will also provide a way out so that you can endure it. Now, people throughout time have been tempted. And those that have looked at God's help have experienced victory. Think of Joseph. Joseph was tempted by Potiphar's wife. Potiphar's wife grabbed a hold of his coat and he ran, leaving his coat behind, and then later being thrown into the dungeon, into prison. But he escaped. From something much worse than prison. He escaped from Potiphar's wife. The Lord will provide a way out if you will let Him lead you.
Amen.
You said, well, I failed. You start where you are at. Don't ever forget that. You don't start down a thousand to nothing. You start where you're at and you ask God for help where you're at.
Amen. Right.
It's a brand new day, a beginning where you're at.
Amen.
Yes.
You don't live underneath the load of past failures. You begin with God's help, and He will lead you out.
Yes.
Right.
Now, as I know with all these, that this prayer is plural. Our Father who art in heaven, and give us this day, forgive us as we have forgiven our debtors.
Amen. Right.
And this says, lead us not into temptation. Prayer is plural, and temptation is a plural problem. You're not the only one being tempted. You're not the only one that, if you're a man that is tempted by pornography that comes across a computer screen and is like being pushed on the TV screen, you're not the only one.
Right.
You're not the only one that is tempted to become addicted to gambling. You're not the only one. You're not the only one that has been tempted to lose your temper.
Right.
And let it rip. You're not the only one that has an anger problem, has been tempted to become angry. You are not the only one that has been tempted to say something bad about somebody else that you don't know if it's true or not, but you sure want to poison the well about the other person. You're not the only one that's been tempted to say something when you should have remained silent. You are not the only one. It is lead us not into temptation, because we all have a problem. When it comes to temptation. And we need to pray for one another. Because it is daily a full court press. You're not alone. That's why we need each other as Christians. Because we are all, I might not say this properly, we are all recovering sin addicts. I don't know how to say it properly. But basically that we all are in the same boat and we have problems that we all struggle with and we need each other.
Amen.
And we need to say, lead us not into temptation.
Amen.
That's the power of AA groups. It's the power of Christian recovery groups. It's the power of God's people gathering together, studying God's Word together, gathering together, whether it's life groups or gathering together for a ladies' book study or gathering together to go to a ball game or being together because we need each other.
Amen.
Lead us not into temptation because it is a battle.
Right.
And the worst thing is that you become isolated.
Right.
Oh, we get isolated out there, and you're in your own little private world, and hey, nobody, this is not bothering anybody. This is not going to hurt anybody. This is not going to hurt me. And the devil's got you under, he's behind the two-way mirror, and he's wondering how soon he's going to go after the marshmallow, or he's going to go after that lure, and he's wanting you to fail.
Right.
But when you are on the court with other players and they say, hey buddy, watch it, he's going to come behind your back there. Hey, watch out over there. Hey, you got somebody else.
Amen. Right.
That's got your back, that's wanting you to succeed as well, that also knows the pain of failure as I do.
Yeah.
Watch it. Lead us, not temptations, a plural problem. We need other Christians that we can be accountable to that can cheer us on or pick us up, dust us off, and say, hey, buddy, get back in the game.
Amen. Right.
Now, this might seem like a duh point. We're about to wrap this up quickly this morning. This might seem like a duh. But to overcome temptation, we must pray. This
right,
is prayer.
Right.
You got to pray it. Oh, that's it. Right. Might be a good song. And lead us not into temptation. Yeah, I can get really operatic here. And deliver us from evil. But if it's just the old sing-song thing to you, forget about it. Drop the song and the dance and let's make it real.
Right.
Amen.
And you get up in the morning and say, Lord, lead me not into temptation. Help me
right.
pass the test.
Right.
If there's a way that you can lead me away from the if it's a video game, that's one of my famous soapboxes. Lead me away from the video game station at the buffet. You know, or don't lead me away. You know, we need to actually pray. You need to say it.
Right.
At least to pray it in your least silently in your heart and mind. Lead me away.
Yeah.
Lord, I know now the Spirit led Jesus into the wilderness to be tempted.
Right.
Well, let me tell you, the Spirit wouldn't send him out there except for the fact that he knew and he was going to help Jesus pass the test. The
right.
devil, what did the devil want him to do, those three temptations? He wanted, hey, bow down to me, buddy. You can have it all right now. You don't have to die on the cross. Why worry about all those rest of the sinners? Hey, everybody will bend their knee. You don't have to humble yourself to come obedient to death on the cross. I'll have everybody bow at your feet right now. Come on now. Come on. But the Father was there to help Jesus pass the test.
Amen. Right.
What Jesus spent that time doing? Praying and fasting.
Right.
Seeking God.
Right.
God wants you to pass the test, but folks, you need to ask Him, Lord, lead me not into temptation. You need to say it and pray it.
Amen.
Because otherwise, you're not saying, hey, communication on the court, on the field, communication in the workplace is important. You need to say it because you need to think it and you need to yield yourself daily to being led by, you need to pray it.
Amen.
Like I say, it's kind of a duh thing. But if you don't pray it and you don't mean it, it's not going to change.
Right.
It's not going to change. We've got to pray it. Not as a rote ritual prayer, but as a real request, a real text from our heart to God. Lord, I need you. Lead me not. Lord, if you can lead me around it, through it, somehow, help me. Lead us. Pray for your brothers and sisters that are struggling.
Yes.
It's a spiritual battle. Paul wrote, Ephesians 6:12, for our battle is not against flesh and blood, but against rulers, against the authorities, powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual force of evil in the heavenly places. Folks, there's a spiritual battle. You can pray, not only lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one.
Yes.
The Father wants you to pass, to succeed, to experience the fullness of life.
Yes.
He is for you, not against you.
Yes.
He is pulling for you. You know, I tell you what, to play the Father role out on the sports court, I can play that well because I want them to succeed. The devil wants you to fail. There's a destroyer out there. Oh, Job, bless Job. Job went through all that, and he said, just let me have him. Just let me have Job. He's going to fail. He's going to fail. He's going down. The Heavenly Father said, hey, he's mine. He's not going to fail.
Yes.
And what did Job say? I know, even in his worst moment, he says, I know my Redeemer lives.
Amen.
And on the earth again shall stand. I know I have someone that can resurrect my life from the dust and the dirt and bring me back to life. I'm trusting him. It is a spiritual battle that we can depend on the Lord to deliver us from the one that would destroy us, the evil one. Maybe some of you have read the Screwtape letters. It's a fictional writing where this guy writes as if he were a demon communicating with his uncle that's another demon, and they're trying to destroy this Christian. They're thinking of different ways that they can get him to, you know, play with his mind, you know, and kind of play around and get him to sin. Well, that's fictional, but I tell you, the fact is that the devil walks about like a roaring lion wanting to devour you. The liberal poet and author Oscar Wilde, back in the late 1800s, who struggled with a lot of things himself and gave in, he wrote this: the only way to get rid of temptation is to yield to it. I can risk it, and he said it with tongue in cheek, I'm sure, but he said, I can risk resist anything but temptation. And the idea for many people is give in to temptation. That's the full point. Why give in to it? Hey, if it feels good, do it. Give in to temptation. That's what the secularists would say, the humanists would say, that's just be what comes natural. Why fight it? Must be good. 50 miles west of Peoria, there's a little town of Abington. Abington, mm-hmm. Illinois. You've been there?
Mm-hmm.
You know what Abington, one of the claims of fame for Abington is? I'll tell you. It's a guy named, William C. Hooker, who obtained in 1894 the U.S. patent 528671 for the first spring-loaded mousetrap. Who wants to say, if you build a better mousetrap, the world will be a path to your door? Well, this guy in Abington, Illinois, a couple hour and a half from here, he invented this first, spring-loaded mousetraps in 1894. You know, he put some peanut, I love those things, they're fun to play with. I got one in my office, I'm not kidding you. Not for use, but I've got one. It's too complicated to explain. Well, it's an outhouse. As you drop the penny into the outhouse, the penny hits the mousetrap, and the outhouse explodes. A lot of fun entertainment there. If I'm really, really bored, I remember it's there. Sometimes I'll put it together, and, you know, it's like, how many hours of entertainment can I get out of this? You know, who needs the internet? I got a spring loaded mousetrap outhouse. You put that mousetrap, you put the peanut butter and the cheese on it. The mouse smells the cheese or the peanut butter. And then, he kind of loses his mind. And he goes tippity, tippity, tip, and he gets the cheese and ka-whammo! like that. Well, I love hearing those things go off and they're for real. Oh. Maybe I should talk about a live mousetrap this morning. No. Whammo! The mouse is dead. The fish that is lured in is dead. I don't know about you. I don't know about you, but I don't want to live with a mousetrap mentality that the peanut butter and the cheese, hey, peanut butter and cheese is good, but if it's for a mousetrap, it's bad. It'll kill you. And the mousetrap of temptation is just like that. And we can sit around and say, there's nothing wrong with that mousetrap. There's nothing wrong with getting the cheese off the mousetrap. What's wrong with you? Go ahead and get the cheese off the mousetrap. It's good. It's good. The only one that will tell you that it's okay to go ahead and get cheese and peanut butter off of a mousetrap is someone that wants you to be dead.
Right.
And someone that wants to defeat you.
Yeah.
The Heavenly Father doesn't want that for you.
Right.
I don't want to live in a mousetrap mentality anymore. Maybe one mouse would get smart enough if it was a saved mouse. He'd say, hey, brother mouse, hey, you got to resist that. It's going to kill you.
Check out this outhouse.
Check out this outhouse. Drop a quarter in here to my collection, and I'll show you the way. But I want to tell you that's the way it is in the world, folks. It's not some do-gooder preacher up there saying, hey, you better stay away from this, brother. Yo, if you want to be a good Christian, blah, blah, blah. No, this is what is going to kill you. Stay away from it.
Amen.
Because that's a mousetrap ready to spring and clamp down your snout pretty good. Deliver us from the evil one. Because every single person that's here, you're on the field. Mm-hmm. And we are fellow players on that field. We got to cover each other's back. We got to pray and let the Lord lead us.
Amen.
As we stand singing our closing song, wherever He leads, I'll go. And if we pray the prayer, lead us not into temptation, or sing this song, wherever He leads, and we don't mean it, it's like we're singing a lie. I'll go wherever you want me to go, but help me go on there. Hey, I'm already planning to do that. When you say it, when you say it, we mean it. Lord, wherever you lead.